Lord Jesus, open our minds so we can understand the scriptures. Amen. Please be seated. For 41 years now, I have either heard and or sung that song we just sang, Crown Him with Many Crowns. I think it's beloved across denominations. But if I ask some of you right now, how many of you feel like you could come up here without the hymnal and without the bulletin and sing all the words? How about half the words? I wonder if Matt and Jessica could do that. They might get a little bit further than the rest of us. I feel like most of us would get about this far. Crown him with many crowns, the Lord, da, 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 da. Well, there's a very similar scene in a comedy, a British comedy called Mr. Bean, where Mr. Bean, this very silly man, walks into church. It's a very proper church, and he's sitting up in the front row for some reason, and they're singing All Creatures of Our God and King. And Mr. Bean really, he doesn't enjoy the preaching. He really is a little distracted, but when it gets to the singing, he's pretty happy. He kind of knows this song, but his grumpy neighbor won't share his hymnal with him, and he can't find his own hymnal. So that's basically what happens to Mr. Bean. He's just kind of da, 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 da. And then when it gets to that line, hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Bean, he knows it, and he's happy, and he wants everybody else to know he knows it. So when it gets to that part, hallelujah, hallelujah, he's so happy to have that part. So 1 John, the reading that we heard earlier today, I wonder how many of you, as you were listening to that, you heard some hallelujahs in there, like, God is light. And maybe you noticed one of the comfortable words in there. But probably a lot of the rest of it you were feeling like, da, 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 da. Well, that's the way I felt as I prepared, as I started to prepare to preach this today. Because it's one thing as you're listening to it or just casually reading through and enjoying those hallelujah lines of it. But then to study it or to prepare to preach it, as I started to began the process, I found myself a little bit discouraged. Felt like Mr. Bean without a hymnal. And so I opened a couple of New Testament introductions to see what they had to say about 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And here's what one said. 1st John tends to be neglected because it is difficult to navigate and even more difficult to preach. Great. So I decided to preach on Luke. No, I did not. I stayed with 1 John. Another one said, you may experience real difficulty trying to follow John's train of thought. All right. Challenge accepted. So, but yet there are these beautiful crown him with many crown moments all throughout 1, 2, and 3 John, and these hallelujah, hallelujah lines that you can just enjoy and you do understand, especially Christians who have received the Holy Spirit. We recognize when our Lord speaks to us, and he certainly does. So those introductions, the first one also said this, after saying how difficult it could be to preach and to navigate through, it says, and yet, together the three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, offer very rich theology, practical application, and some of the most profound statements about the love of God in Christ. Those are those hallelujah lines in the book, and the crown him with many crown moments, the ones you recognize and want to sing out. So I want to try to help us take on this challenge, look through a little bit more this first chapter 1, verse 1 through 2:2 of 1 John. I wish we could go through it all, but I'm pretty sure I don't have a 2-hour time frame, which is what I usually wish we had. So the first two verses, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. And that's not even the end of the sentence yet. If you certainly heard, there's some, you hear the profoundness, but boy, it's a little bit hard to follow. But just very simply here, John's talking about the incarnation. He's talking about that being the person who we touched and saw, and touching just a person is, well, that's fairly easy, but we're talking about the person of Jesus, the one who he says also, and the Word of God became flesh, the one who was in the beginning with God and who was God. He's talking about the person who is truly God and truly man, fully God and fully man, this Word of life who became flesh. And he says, we, John himself, some of these other disciples, just like we saw in the Luke passage, when Jesus invites them all, not just Thomas, but all of them to touch him. And so both before and after the resurrection, they touched him and they saw him and we heard him. And John is talking to this church community and reminding them, I'm one of those people that we actually saw him. We actually touched him. We actually heard him, this one who is both God and man. And why does he need to remind? He's not bragging here. It's not, oh, how neat I am, because Jesus even says, blessed is those who have believed and haven't seen, who haven't touched, who haven't heard. But what we have to do is read it, like always, we want to read through, when we can, through the whole letter, through the whole book. And John, thankfully, is 5 chapters, so you can do that pretty easily. And you see there's a community of people who are actually denying that Christ came in the flesh. And so John is, this is a letter of assurance and reminding that yes, Jesus really did come in the flesh. We saw him. We touched him. The Word of life. We heard him. And that is really beautiful and important. So then he goes on, finishing the sentence, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. So again, a little bit later, we see that there are people stirring up in the community this idea that Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. And they're separating people, confusing people from this truth that so many of them that he's writing to already have. They understood and believed that Jesus really was the Son of God. He really was God. He really was man. They really came in the flesh. But some people, probably some of them are very smart, are saying these confusing things that he's just spiritually didn't really come in the flesh, or he didn't really rise in body. That's one of the reasons why we faithfully proclaim we believe in the resurrection of the body, just as Jesus resurrected bodily. And so he goes on again. We see this assurance over and over, this reminder of the truth of the gospel, of all that's happened. And so in 5-7, he says, this is the message we have heard from him, from Jesus, and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's one of those lines we recognize, one of those crown him with many crowns, one of those hallelujah, hallelujah lines. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So apparently there were some of these people also in the community denying having sin or the ability to just be perfectly sinless forever. And John says, well, God is light, and we are not to sin. We are to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's something that we all who have known our Lord, who have believed in him without seeing, that's something we all desire. We all want to walk in the light as he is in the light. And so he continues and says, if we say we have no sin, like these folks that are saying otherwise in the community, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. there's another beautiful one that we really, as those who have known the goodness of the Lord, that's another one that makes us sing hallelujah. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, the good news is not in me being perfect and denying that I ever sin anymore now that I'm a follower of Christ. The good news is that I have this good Father who is light. God is light. And I confess my sins to him, and he is faithful and just to forgive me and to forgive you. The heretics, this other community that was saying otherwise, was taking people away from this fellowship and from this joy and from even that ability to walk in the light, because you can't walk in the light if you're not willing to confess your sins. And so the last two verses, he says, "My children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." So, of course, John doesn't want the community he's writing to sin. And that message goes to us. He doesn't want us to sin. And those of us who know and love the Lord, we don't want to sin anymore. We want to walk in the light. That's where we want to be. To deny otherwise is to be far from God. So he says, "I'm writing these things so that you will not sin." Again, encouragement. Not a bashing. Not a shape up and get it together. An encouragement. I want you to walk in the light. I want you to have fellowship with myself and the other apostles, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. So I write them so that you don't sin. But John knows his heart, and he knows our hearts. He knows our weakness, just as the Lord knows our weakness. And he says, "But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." I believe that these verses here, these comfortable words that Thomas Cranmer picked out for us in our liturgy, I believe these are the points, the hallelujah, hallelujah, the crown and with many crowns. This is really the highlight of this section. Jesus is our perfect atonement and our perfect advocate. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I found St. Augustine, great preacher, great theologian. I found what he said about 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He, of course, was not afraid to, apparently, to go ahead and tackle this as a sermon, and he has a sermon on it. And this is how he starts off, why he says he's preaching on 1 John. "This book is very sweet to every healthy Christian heart that savors the bread of God, and it should constantly be in the mind of God's holy church. But I choose it more particularly because what it specially commends to us is love." So he sees that right here at the beginning in Jesus being our perfect advocate and our perfect atonement. But of course, you probably also know he must be thinking about that verse in 4:8 where John tells us, "God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." God is love. If that's not a crown him with many crowns verse, or a hallelujah, hallelujah, I don't know which ones are. And if you hear this and you read these, because John can be a little bit hard to follow, and he does clearly speak over and over again about walking in the light and not sinning. He said, I write these things so that you do not sin. But he also over and over reminds you of, if you are in Christ, if you are one of these people that have confessed Jesus as Lord, that changes everything. Your walking in light and your attempting not to sin is not to save yourself. It's because of this one who loves you, because of God who loves you. And so one more crown him with many crowns verses, one more hallelujah, hallelujah verse. 3:20. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Whenever your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart, and he knows everything. And he who knows everything sent us Jesus, our perfect atonement and advocate. Crown him with many crowns. Hallelujah, hallelujah.